Well, good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. I like that. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church. It is good to see all of you and good to worship with you this beautiful Sunday morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 34, 1 through 3, King David sings, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Amen. Please bow your heads and join me in prayer right now. Good morning, Father God. It's so good to be here in your house together. We lift up our offering of praise and worship and hope that it makes you smile. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. They're too numerous to mention, to say the very least, of course. Please forgive us any sin that we are committing or don't even know we're doing, and help us to forgive ourselves as well. We love you, Father, and we are so thankful that you love us. For it is in the holy name of Jesus the Christ, all his little kids say amen. Now, please stand as you are able, and we're going to start our singing time with "That's Why We Praise Him."
One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
knows you and me by name. That didn't bring much of a shout of praise or anything. Let me say that again. The creator of the universe actually knows you and me by name. Amen.
Woo! Wow.
And guess what else? He still loves us. Who would have thought, right? Can I hear a double amen? Amen, double. Amen. That's why our next song is so true. We need to sing it like we mean it, because this is truly Amazing Grace.
One, two, three, four.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in all and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you awaken a life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Chaos back into order, who makes a servant a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Pastor Dan is bringing us a message on stewardship. No, don't leave. This is another means for us to grow closer to God. In biblical terms, Charles Bugg defines stewardship in the Holman Bible Dictionary as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. Okay, that sounds a bit complicated, I know, but it really isn't. Christian stewardship regards the obligation of Christians in managing and utilizing intelligently the gifts that God has given. So that just means we need to think about what we do with what we get. Can I hear an amen?
Amen to that.
The Christian steward is not only responsible for the financial blessings provided by God, but also the spiritual gifts that are given through the Holy Spirit. God wants human beings to be his stewards in the work of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Our next song, Alabaster Jar, kind of is a little story about, you know, where the they think it's Mary broke the alabaster jar and poured oil and anointed Jesus' feet, right? Well, that was a very priceless jar of oil, but she broke it because Jesus was worth far more than the oil. Can I hear an amen? But that this song exemplifies how important it is to make a sacrifice sometimes in order for the betterment of all. And that includes you, me, and in this case, Jesus. Now, as we sing Alabaster Jar, think about all the things that we have that we could use for someone else to bring them closer to Jesus, therefore bringing you closer to Jesus as well.
Alabaster jar is all I have of worth. I break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil. The sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy. Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am, take me as an offering. Here I am, giving every heartbeat for your glory. For me, so I will live my life for you. Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am, take me.
And now, my brothers and sisters, it is time to pass the peace with one another and greet each other.
You can read it. You can read along with me. We're going to go to page 357. You brought your book, your own Bible today, just like this one. Yeah. So we're talking a lot about. We've been talking a lot about serving people and using our gifts. Do you know what our gifts are? You know, they're not just things you unwrap at Christmas time. Gifts aren't just those things. Those are gifts. But we have lots of gifts. And because we are followers of Jesus Christ and of God, we believe that God gave us all. Everything that we have comes from God. And so the world that we live in, the clothes we wear, everything, the houses that we have, our families are all things that God blesses us with, right? Isn't that cool? We have so many blessings. So I want to read a story today about from our children's Bible, and I'm going to show you the pictures as I go. This is a story about Jesus feeding thousands of people. And one of the things I really like about this story is one of the main characters in the story is of just a little boy. A little boy who had a little bit of food, and he was willing to share it. And because he was willing to share the little bit of food that he had, Jesus was able to feed a whole lot of people. Isn't that cool? So let me read the story to you, and I'll show you the pictures. And you're just going to... Did you find where I'm at right here? Yeah, okay, good. Jesus and his disciples were tired. See how they look pretty tired there? They needed a quiet place to rest. So they got into a boat and pushed off from shore. A crowd followed the boat. See, they're running along the shore. Wherever they went, they followed them. Over 5,000 people had come to see Jesus. Even though he was tired, Jesus wanted to help them. He climbed out of the boat, and he began to bless and heal many people. Later that day, the disciples said to Jesus, "It is getting late. These people should go home and eat dinner." Jesus replied, "We can feed them. See if anyone has any food to share." The disciples found one boy. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me." It was a boy just about like you all, probably. The disciples asked, "How will so little food feed this many people?" Jesus said, "You will see. Have the people sit down." Then Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God. His disciples gave bread and fish to everyone. To their surprise, 12 baskets were left over. 12 baskets full of food were left over. Wow. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
And you know what? That little boy was, it was so cool that he was willing to give the little bit of food he had, and then Jesus was able to feed lots of people. He gave the gifts that he had, didn't he? Let's have a prayer together, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so blessed by all of the blessings that you continue to just shower over us. One of the greatest blessings that we have are these young people who are in our midst. And Lord, we do not take that for granted. We are so grateful to have these children with us. And we ask that you just bless each one of them in a very, very special way, that you help them to learn how to use the gifts you've blessed them with. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back. Thank you for coming up.
Good morning. Good morning. Today our scripture lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Now it is not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Can y'all hear me okay? Yes, yeah. My microphone working? Good. I'm trying to sort of feel like my head's spinning a little bit because I've have a lot going on this morning. And so I'm just going to take a deep breath and invite you all to do the same. I don't really know if I need to preach a sermon this morning because Kathleen has already pretty much said everything I was going to say. But it won't hurt to hear it again, I guess, probably so. Let me go ahead and start. I'm not going to play a song like I have been playing right now to begin my sermon, but after we get done, I'm going to help lead you all in our final, in our closing hymn. So I would invite you now to pray with me as we prepare to hear God's word this morning. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer, our foundation. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we are wrapping up this sermon series that we have been working on now for several weeks. We've been talking about, as you all know, probably well know by now, five steps to growing closer to God. We've been talking about the ways that we can grow in relationship to God, in our knowledge of God, and in our commitment to God. And those five steps, which we've talked about in the last few weeks. First, we talked about reading Scripture daily and how that keeps you connected to God. We talked about praying daily, and when we talked about praying, we emphasized that praying is not just talking to God, but also listening for God. We talked about Christian conferencing, and I remember I said that really was nothing more than just talking to other Christians about our faith together and how that helps us to grow. We talked about outreach, missions, and service and evangelism. And today I want to wrap up, as Kathleen has already told you, by talking about stewardship a little bit. And with stewardship, the thing that really is kind of interesting about stewardship is that it helps us, when we take it seriously, to reorient our priorities. And that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about today. I started off with a secular definition of stewardship. Kathleen kind of took my first part of my sermon, but I'll do it again. One of these days, I'm just going to have you preach. Because I think you can do it. You can preach. The secular definition of stewardship, once again, is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. But it has a special meaning for us in our Christian context. Because we believe that all that we have and all that we are comes from and ultimately belongs to God. Amen?
Amen?
Let me say that again. We believe that all that we have and all that we are comes from and ultimately belongs to God. The Apostle Paul in the first book, first letter to the Corinthians, said at one point, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" From the very beginning of the biblical narrative, it has been made clear that God is entrusting us with the care of God's creation. In the first chapter of Genesis, and this translation is from The Message, God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." This scripture, brothers and sisters, tells us that we are responsible for all of God's creation. We are also responsible for using the gifts that God has blessed each of us with. Most of us made a commitment to do this either when we were baptized or when we became members of the United Methodist Church. Do you remember these words? "As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?" And you answered,
"I will."
Your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. If we break this down a little bit, what we end up with is something like this. First, our prayers. Did you realize that's one of the commitments that we make? To pray for or to pray with, in public or in private, with words or in silence, speaking or listening. Prayer is one of the commitments that we make. Another is our presence, being where God wants you to be, when God wants you to be, being where God needs you to be, when God needs you to be, in worship and in service, and in fellowship, and in all of your day-to-day activities. We promise to use our gifts, and our gifts are so numerous we can barely even count them. And we're talking about both physical and spiritual gifts when we're talking about our gifts. Our talents, our abilities, the skills that you have, our aptitudes, the things that we are naturally good at, our resources, which include our money, our material objects, our time, our energy, maybe even our contacts and connections. I'm sure there are others that you could name. If you can think of any later on, let me know, and I'll add them to the list. And finally, we make a commitment of service, because all of this is in the name of serving God by being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this community and beyond. When you fulfill these promises to the Lord, you are being a good steward of God's resources. And being a steward of God's resources is another way of being in relationship with God. In today's scripture reading, the emphasis seems to be on our attitude toward giving. The Apostle Paul says, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Apparently, our attitude toward giving, or we might say our attitude when we give, is somehow important. I've got a couple of brief, anecdote stories that I want to share with you all to sort of maybe help make my point. Any of you all ever make a budget at home? Yeah, most of us probably make budgets. I make a budget every now and then, and I'll get it back out and work on it a little bit more. Let me ask you this, just real quickly. What do you usually put on the first line of your expenses when you make a budget? Mortgage? Car payment? Insurance? If you don't remember, you can check when you get back home and look. I was working on my home budget one time. It was a few years ago, I think. And I realized that I had put tithing way down on my list of commitments. That it was almost just an afterthought. Since then, when I do a budget, I've been trying to remember to put my commitment to the church as my number one priority, and then work down from there. This could apply to our finances, but or just as easily to the stewardship of other gifts, like our time and our talents. Who or what exactly does come first? That's the question. Another quick anecdote. You know, sometimes you have pizza. I'm going to talk about pizza. Everybody understands pizza. You ever had this experience where you're eating a pizza and there's only two pieces left, and you go back and you look and you're going to get one more piece, and you see one of the pieces looks really good. It's got all the toppings on it. The other one is just that little corner piece of crust, you know? Which one would you take? Sometimes, when this happens to me and Amy at home, you know, and every now and then I get generous and I think to myself, I'm going to give her that best piece and take the other one for myself. But sometimes I don't do that. Is there anybody you know who you would give the other the best piece of pizza too, and keep the worst one for yourself? That is the way we need to be with God. That's just something to think about. We're going to be talking about stewardship more in the next few weeks. We're entering a month of preparation for our annual charge conference, which will be held on September 25th this year. It's going to be done by Zoom, and so any of you all can participate either with your computer or you can even call in with the phone and listen. During this time in preparation for this charge conference, the nominations committee will be working to prayerfully discern God's will for those who may be called to serve in various lay leadership positions in the church. One of the things that makes this church such a vibrant and active church is our strong lay leadership. We need to continue that trend by identifying those who have the gifts to lead. And by each one of us being willing to respond to God's call on our lives as we live into what it means to be the body of Christ in this time and place. One thing that I would invite for each of you to be praying about as we enter into this season is for an openness to serve in lay leadership, if asked, even if you feel maybe you don't have what it takes, because that's often our response. Pray for the ability to put God first in all things, and to remember the commitments you made to this congregation in baptism and in membership. When you fulfill these promises to the Lord, you are being a good steward of God's resources. And being a steward of God's resources is another way of being in relationship with God. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us an openness to your will in our lives and in this church. Lord, we have so many gifted people in this congregation. And Lord, you have given each of us different gifts so that we might complement each other and be the body of Christ in this world, the hands and the feet, as we reach out to others and do your will. Give us a desire to serve. Give us a desire to use our gifts and the courage to do so. Amen. Let us have a blessing over our offering now, which is still being received and out in the narthex. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you for these blessings we've been talking about today. Lord, everything that we have comes ultimately from you. And help us now, Lord, to remember and to never take these things for granted. Lord, we have brought a small portion of these gifts back into your house this morning to bless this place and to give the church the resources to do your will and to be your church. We ask you to give us the wisdom to know best how to use these for your glory and for your ends. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to have our time of prayer together as a congregation. And I would like to invite you all to share any joys or concerns that you might have at this time. Yes?
I have some cousins in Illinois that have COVID. And one's in the hospital, the other's in the hospital or ventilator.
Okay.
Also, so.
Prayers for cousins in Illinois who have COVID. Thank you very much. Prayers. Yes. Yes.
My sister was admitted to the hospital this week with internal bleeding and at our age, and I'm going to prayers.
Okay. Prayers for your sister. Yeah. Okay. Prayers for Lloyd Meadows. Okay. Thank you, Jackie. Laura gave me a a note here that she asked me to read at this time. And it says, I would like to thank my Bethany family and friends for the cards, prayers, and words of comfort that I have received over the last month due to the death of my sister in a house fire. A recent card I received stated, we continue to pray for God's peace and comfort in your heart and mind. I ask for continued prayer for me and my family, for that peace and comfort in our hearts and minds. And that's from Laura. So continued prayers for her and her family. Are there other things? Yes.
This is a note of joy. My mother would have been 100 years old yesterday. She was a great inspiration to many people and missed by many people. And 100 years would have been quite an event.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, I'm going to offer a prayer from one of my favorite prayer books, actually, this time, and one I recommend to all of you. It is called Guerrillas of Grace, Prayers for the Battle by Ted Loader. And it's a great prayer book. I was first turned on to this when I was in seminary. And this is a prayer which I hope will go along with our topic this morning. And then we will follow this up with our Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all I forget are gifts, not rights. Forgive me for all the grievances I remember too well. Save me from the self-pity, the self-seeking, the fat-heartedness which is true poverty. Guide me if I'm willing, drive me if I'm not, into the hard ways of sacrifice, which are just and loving. Make me wide-eyed for beauty and for my neighbor's need and goodness, wide-willed for peacemaking and for the confronting power with the call to compassion. Wide-hearted for love and for the unloved who are the hardest to touch and need it the most. Dull the envy in me which criticizes and complains life into 1,000 ugly bits. Keep me honest and tender enough to heal, tough enough to be healed of my hypocrisies. Match my appetite for privilege with the stomach for commitment. Teach me the great cost of paying attention, that naked to the dazzle of your back as you pass, I may always know that I am on holy ground. Breathe into me the restlessness and courage to make something new, something saving, and something true, that I may understand what it is to rejoice. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I've got to find my... worship sheet now. What comes next? Announcements. Okay, let's do announcements. Now give me a chance to get organized while we're doing that. Do we have any announcements? Yes.
I'll be hosting a Bible study starting in October 9th. If you're interested, the topic is revealing the mysteries of heaven. It is going to be a very open Bible study. Small room.
That sounds great, Barbara. Thank you for that. Yeah, appreciate that. Other announcements?
Any articles for the October newsletter are due tomorrow.
Okay.
Wednesday at the very latest.
Okay, articles for the October newsletter due by tomorrow in the church to Cindy in the church office. Yeah. Other things. Okay, well, we're going to, for our closing hymn, we are going to do something from our United Methodist hymnal. It is I Surrender All. And I think the words are going to be up here. We're going to do the first four verses. It is in your hymnal on number 354, but it might be easier just to do that.
And you can stand as you're able.
Yeah, good idea.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender
you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you peace, both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.